Now, what is the next most difficult thing while we're at it? Next most difficult thing, next to being oneself. I think we can say that the next most difficult thing is to think for oneself. Nearly all our thoughts are second-hand. In the course of the last few days, many of us have engaged in discussions and conversations of various kinds, some short, some not so short, some early, some late, some with one other person, some with four or five other people. We've given expression to various ideas, various opinions, thoughts, concepts, and so on. But if we were to ask ourselves the question, how many of these thoughts, how many of these ideas were our own? How many were original? How many had we really produced or created for ourselves? Because most people do not think for themselves. They do not think really at all. Most people's conversation is only, we may say, a sort of regurgitation of slogans. You pick up slogans. You pick up slogans of daily life, politics, literature, religion, art. And when a certain subject is touched upon in conversation, out comes something that we've heard or something that we've read, but not anything, usually, that we've really thought out originally and deeply for ourselves. And of course, most of the time, we do not think for ourselves because we're not trying to be ourselves. If you want to think for yourself, you must be yourself. Thinking for yourself is, in fact, an aspect of being yourself. The two are very closely connected. When we fail to be ourselves, when we fail to think for ourselves, in both cases there is a sort of lack of awareness. And both being ourselves and also thinking for ourselves demand this same quality of awareness. Now let's take an example. Take, for instance, the religions of the world. There are so many religions in the world, even now. Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Shinto, Taoism, so many religions. But what usually happens? What is the standard pattern? Most people are simply born into a religion. You're a Christian because your parents were. You're a Hindu because your parents were. You're a Jain because your parents were. There's no question of personal, no question of individual choice. The fact that you are a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Jew seems to be a complete accident. You might just as well have been anything else had you been born in some other part, in some other quarter of the globe. And this is very much the case with religious attitudes in general. It's that we are born into them, we accept them unthinkingly as part of our education, as part of our general background. Not only religious attitudes, but even non-religious attitudes. Formerly one used to hear people say, oh, I was raised a Methodist, or I was brought up in the Church of England. But nowadays you hear people say, oh, I was brought up an agnostic, or my parents were atheist, and I'm atheist too. You hear this sort of statement nowadays, or else I was brought up as a humanist, or something of this sort. So there's no real difference as regards being born into religious and being born into non-religious surroundings. There's the same sort of blind acceptance, the same sort of unthinking acquiescence, the same sort of conditioning. Take, for instance, the case of Russia. 100 years ago, even 50 years ago, all the Russians accepted Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Christianity. They were born into it. But the children, the grandchildren of those same people, they accept Marxism in just the same way. They're born into it. So the attitude, the mental attitude, even the emotional attitude, is really the same in both cases. There hasn't really been any change at all. One just accepts something into the midst of which one is born, without thinking very much about it.